This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
We've seen markets decline today. Oil is up. We'll talk more of that shortly. But firstly, let's get the latest earnings numbers, and particularly from JP Morgan today. The earnings numbers don't seem to be too bad, but the markets didn't like it and the stock is down.
Yeah, and that's been the theme here with this market in terms of as we kick off earnings season, there's just high expectations for U.S. companies, and perhaps more so now than ever. It's because we're seeing this period of high inflation. The only way you keep the stock market continuing to go up with high inflation is if earnings can kind of back the valuations that these companies are at. As you mentioned, JP Morgan led the earnings season here. The numbers, as you mentioned, were a beat on the top and bottom line. But the concern that the market had, and this just shows you how concerned overall this market is about how important earnings is, they missed on some expectations for interest income this year. And there almost feels like, you know, you can hit top and bottom lines great, but what matters more is that you have just a clean slate in everywhere else. That being said, clearly the market didn't love what they got out of JP Morgan, down about 5% here at the time of recording this podcast. The issue here with this is that with JP Morgan down to start out earnings season, and this week we just had hot inflation data out of the United States. You know, CPI was higher than expected, although the producer price index followed it and it was a little bit cooler. The overall story still seems like inflation data is coming in strong, it's coming in hot, and that could push back expectations for rate cuts. So as I mentioned, the only way you keep stocks elevated in that environment is if geopolitics don't ramp up, which we'll get to in just a second, and at the same time, earnings come in very solid. There's some extremely high expectations. That being said, the dollar index is just shy. It just traded at 106, which is a recent high, last several months here. That's a high on the day. And that comes as we see essentially central banks around the world looking to position themselves to begin cutting this year. Meanwhile, it's in question as to whether or not the Federal Reserve will cut at all, right? Some people would say they're not going to cut. Other people would say if they are, it's going to be more closer to 2 interest rate cuts. Whereas when we started the year, Johnny, the idea was 6, right? There's a big change in that expectation. So again, that dialing back of rate cuts is causing the dollar index to look really strong against its peers. If you take a look at the euro against the dollar here, I know a lot of our listeners are currency traders or currency investors. What you can see here is that we're taking out lows that we haven't taken out in some time. We're trading at 1.065. That's a fresh low for the euro going back since November of last year. So euro's coming down. The pound against the US dollar also looking relatively weak. And taking out fresh lows again there as well. Now, again, with any expectations for rate cuts to be coming into the picture for the US, we need to see inflation data coming down and the economy not be so hot. The issue is that we're not quite seeing that. That being said, if you're somebody who tracks rates like yields, right, on like a 10-year note or 20-year plus bonds, you can't help but to notice today that yields are down pretty hard. You got 1.66% down on the 10-year yield today, and that is noticeable. One of the reasons for that, Johnny, is arguably the same reason why we see oil up, gold up, dollar up, and stocks down. There's a little bit of a risk-off sentiment, perhaps something going on in the Middle East. Is that right?
And things could get a lot worse. Hopefully they won't. If there was going to be some sort of response from Iran and then consequently from Israel, it's going to be a very difficult time for everyone, particularly those on the ground, but also economic markets across the world will go into some sort of shock phase should things get out of hand.
We have to think about too, Johnny, that the last time we saw serious escalation in global conflict with Russia and Ukraine, think about what that did to the world. What we saw was price rises everywhere. It was incredibly painful for the whole world. I mean, it still is. There's still mounting pain from both the conflict in the Middle East as well as in Eastern Europe.
Where could you see the oil price going, though? Because obviously, we're not buying oil from Iran because of the sanctions. So how much would the oil price be affected? We're now over $90 for Brent and going north at the moment, but would it exceed 100, 120 maybe?
Well, of course, with these sorts of events in terms of geopolitically, when Russia invaded Ukraine, we have a little bit of hindsight in our favor. We can see what's been going on. That has drawn out. In some cases, many people thought it would be a very short thing that Russia would accomplish its goals, negotiate for peace very quickly, and be out of there. But that's proven to be not the case. And so, you know, if you're going to ask, you know, is oil going to make it to $100 a barrel? Of course, we don't know the future. We don't know how much further things will escalate. Like you said, let's hope that they do not. Let's hope that they trend the other direction, because, of course, a lot of suffering, a lot of pain goes with these events. And, it's terrible, terrible stuff. I think in terms of financial markets, the best case recently was when, you know, this broke out with Ukraine and Russia. Oil prices went screaming higher. Yes, we are not necessarily buying oil from Iran. Yes, there's all sorts of sanctions with Russia now. The issue is there's only so much global supply. And if we're forced to go buy it from smaller pockets, of course, it has the same effect. Demand goes up, prices go up. And what that means is that if energy continues to spike again, that brought on a lot of trouble to the inflation story in 2022. It could resurface again in 2024. And nobody wants that to happen. Let's hope it doesn't. But it's something to think about for markets.
And it just shows you how quickly things can change. All but 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were talking about 3 or 4 rate cuts, inflation going down, the perfect storm, things going very well for the global economy. I suppose you could say we could go back to that more optimistic future. And of course, we were talking just before we came on air about the effect of the latest CPI figures and the fact that they're not now talking about rate cuts through 2024, maybe not even any rate cuts at all. Where do we stand today?
So we saw CPI earlier this week really disappoint the markets. That was our third consecutive higher than anticipated inflation reading from the CPI. The market did not like that. The PPI, which followed, the producer price index, which followed, was cooler than expected. So the market did kind of like that. But again, as the dust settled, you can see that CPI did have some stronger effect. Inflation is real. It's still stubborn. It's still here for the US. And as long as that narrative keeps happening alongside a relatively strong economy. We saw manufacturing came out of a recession for the first time in, a few years here out of the manufacturing PMI data that we got recently. So the economy is arguably pretty strong compared to its peers. So the dollar looks pretty strong there. Now, the question is there going to be rate cuts this year? And I would say probably yes, but also probably not as many as many people were hoping for. Again, that trend continues to play out this year, where again, start of the year, they thought 6, and then they thought 4, and then they thought 3. And when I say they, I'm talking about mostly the Fed Watch tool, so the market's consensus for what rate cuts would look like. This trend, economic outperformance from the United States, does not seem to be one that is easy to bet against. The US economy seems to be really strong. Jobs data, CPI, PMI data, you have enough here to kind of make a case for there's not enough evidence for the Fed to cut right now. And that's what they're waiting for. I think that they want a reason to cut interest rates. So they probably will cut interest rates. But their reason hasn't really become clear. And if inflation doesn't move down, the next big figure here, I think, is PCE, because PCE is, again, the Fed's preferred measurement of inflation. We get that pretty soon. And when that comes out, that will be a very important read for them. If they get something that they want, it seems like the chair, Jerome Powell, wants to cut interest rates. He has a lot of power. He can do that at some point, but he probably needs something to bring to his committee to say, hey, look, we've got something here. Not quite there, but again, rate cuts probably coming. If they do come along, I would personally think probably more like 2 or 1 interest rate cut this year is probably a little bit more conservative. But we'll see. Again, I think that changes the narrative a little bit, makes the dollar look relatively strong to its peers.
Before we let you go, Nick, let's talk about next week. What are the highlights that we should look out for?
So next week, we have a couple key figures. This week was definitely a big one. This one and last week gave us a lot of the data that we needed to see. But next up, we have things like retail sales on Monday, which could be market moving. We get some data out of China next week, Monday night for us. That, of course, industrial production, that could be interesting. You do get some jobs data out of the UK. You've got Canadian CPI. We hear from the Bank of England's Governor Bailey, Governor Macklem from Canada. So we do have lots of central bank stuff happening next week as well. We have some FOMC members speaking as well. And then, of course, your claims and GBP retail sales, so UK retail sales as well. Very interesting to keep an eye on if you're a currency trader for the pound. A lot of UK stuff coming out next week that could be market moving for sure.
Okay, Nick, have a very good weekend, and we shall speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.